Amen. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24, kind of continuing through our series through the Gospel of Mark, and I want to preach tonight on growth in God's kingdom, growth in God's kingdom. Mark chapter 4, verse 24 through verse 34, it says here, "And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. And he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples." Verse 11 of chapter 4, it says this, "And he said, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without, all these things are done in parables." Lord made a transition going into the Gospel of Mark. In the first three chapters, Paul spoke much about the actions of the Lord and the things that he had done. He begins to make a shift here in chapter 4 to the things that the Lord said. And the Lord began to give a series of parables about the kingdom of God. And this kingdom of God was different than what the Jewish people were looking for. For instance, the Jewish people were looking for a Messiah, and many of them saw Christ as the Messiah, and he was the Messiah. But in looking for the Messiah, they were looking for a new king. They were looking for someone that would free them from the bondage of Rome, someone that would defeat the Romans, that would set up that kingdom and set up his kingdom and lead his people into freedom. And so many of them were looking for that from Christ. Now that day is coming when the Lord's setting up his kingdom. Amen. That day is coming. And Isaiah prophesies of it, Scripture prophesies of it, and that day will be fulfilled. But here's the Lord, and he begins to tell them, and in some way brings some disappointment to them, of a different kingdom. They were looking for him to rule and reign, and Jesus was coming to sacrifice himself on a cross. They were looking for a kingdom of Israel, and yet God was going to start a kingdom with 12 disciples and usher in the church age. He was going to bring in a time of not necessarily of rule and reign in terms of what they were looking for, but he was talking about a time of spiritual growth. And he begins to teach these things. He talks about the seed of the gospel when it comes to that, the different ground that it would lay on and how someone would come to know Christ and the reception of it. He talks about how we're to be a light in this world, and he teaches the disciples about being a light in this world. And then he begins to come into this passage of Scripture, and he talks about, if you will, growth in God's kingdom. He's talking about, I believe, in many ways, spiritual growth, not just numerical growth in this time frame, but a spiritual growth that is applied to our life. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20 says this, "Notwithstanding this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." God's saying this. He said, this is a kingdom of folks whose names are written in heaven because they came by way of the blood. He's talking about a spiritual growth, and there's principles laid out, and I just want to lay out a few of these from this passage of Scripture. And the first thing I want you to notice here is the compounding growth, a compounding growth. Look at verse 24. It says this, "And he said to them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath." He begins with a warning. He said, "Take heed what ye hear." He said, "Be cautious. Be cautious of what you hear." And he says the reason why. He says, "With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall be more be given." Boy, what we hear, what we take in, drastically impacts our life. He said, here's my first caution. Be careful of what you hear. Be careful of what you absorb. Be careful of what you take in your life. Well, if that was true for the disciples, that is 10 times more true today. He's saying, be careful of what you hear. Be careful of what you take in. And I think of those gates that God has given us into our life, those senses that we have, our feeling, our touch, our sight, our ears. And God has given us this warning here in this portion of Scripture, talking about this kingdom coming. And he begins it with a warning, with a caution. Be careful what you take in. Well, you know, there's some things. I think one of the greatest dangers in this area is not what we hear by chance, but what we hear on purpose. It's not what I hear by chance, but what I hear on purpose. You know, there's some things we can't control in this life. Matter of fact, God tells us we're to be in this world. We're not to be of this world, but we are to be in this world. As a part of being in this world, you will take in much that you probably need to sort out and quickly sift out. But he says in this passage of Scripture, be careful what you hear. And I think this, what you hear on purpose. And he begins to say here in this Scripture, he said, with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. You know what he's saying? What you hear will impact your life. What you take in your life will impact your life. It happens, you know, we have some obvious things of that, the nature of what we eat, right? What we take in and what we don't take in. Where's Michael? I've been impressed with that guy and his low-carb thing. How, he's got till Tuesday, right, Michael? Is it Wednesday? You had to add a day. All right, no, okay. Low carbs for how long? I think I'd last about 6 minutes, all right? But I'm impressed with that. But what we take in physically impacts our life. Friend, what we take in words, God is warning us, it impacts my life spiritually. I think of what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 through 9, what we think on. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be what? With you. You know what we take in drastically impacts the spiritual nature of our life. I think we live in a day and age in which, if we're not careful, people are throwing out barriers right and left, as if we've removed everything in terms of those barriers of what we should take in, or at very least minimize them. And God has given his disciples this warning. He's saying, be careful of what you take in. And then he begins to encourage that certain things be taken in our life. He said, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. This is the spiritual aspects. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. That almost sounds unfair, doesn't it? He says in that verse, he said, for that he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. What the Lord is teaching here is a spiritual truth. He's saying this, spiritual growth builds on itself. Isaiah 28, verses 9 through 10 says this, whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Verse 13 of the same chapter, but the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. He's talking about a spiritual growth that builds upon itself. Line upon line, precept upon precept, growing little bit by little bit by little bit. And he warns this fact that he hath not, even with a little bit he has, shall be taken from him. You know, I think of these verses in 2 Peter where the Lord teaches something very similar. Verses chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, it says this, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying is spiritual growth adds to itself. In other words, if I'm going to grow, it's going to be line upon line, precept upon little precept, little bit here, little bit there, and it grows and it grows and it grows as I allow it into my life. Same thing, but it says, from he that hath not, even that which he hath will be taken from him. It's as if the Lord's saying this, there's no neutral in the Christian life. There's no neutral in spiritual growth. It's like you're driving uphill and you decide to stop in the middle of it and put your car in neutral. You are not staying where you're at. You are going backward. You're either going up the hill or you're going down the hill, but there's no staying in the middle of the hill. There's no neutral. Lord said here, and when it comes to the kingdom of God, when it comes to growth, here it is. You are either building line upon line, precept upon precept. You are either growing and growing, or you are moving backward, moving backward, moving backward. So let me tell you about a kingdom of spiritual growth. And the kingdom of spiritual growth, it is me deciding, Lord, I want to grow closer to you and closer to you. I want to get to know you better and better. I want to be more conformed and more conformed. But if I decide in my life I'm just going to stop in the middle, I'm going to move backward. I'm going to step backward, and I'm going to step backward, and I'm going to step backward. The Lord is telling us, you know, I can be content in a lot of things, but I should never be content in my relationship with the Lord. I need to be like Paul, Philippians, where he said this, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. I need to know him better and know him better and know him better. I can't imagine anybody that knew the Lord better than probably Paul did. Maybe Moses. Maybe Abraham, friends of God, men that were known for their relationship with the Lord. But Paul said this, that he said, even in Philippians, he's writing, he said, I want to know him, I want to know him and know him. He said this, I am not content with being where I am in my relationship with the Lord. I believe this, in the Christian growth, there is no neutral. There is no neutral. I'm either growing and learning and getting closer, or I am moving backward, moving backward, moving backward. He says this, here, take heed what you hear, be careful what you're taking in. And what you take in when it comes to the Word of God, he said, build it. Grow it. Learn it. Grow closer to the Lord day in and day out. Learn your Bible. Seek to be more conformed. Seek to be more changed. Seek to get closer to Him. If I decide to park my car and hit the car and sit in neutral, I'm going down the hill. I remember learning to drive. And when we learned to drive, we had two vehicles. There was a lot of us in my family. So it is either a 15-passenger van or it was a Toyota Celica. Talk about two extremes, all right? A Toyota Celica was a manual transmission, all right? So I either learned to drive that manual or I learned to drive that 15-passenger van. And I remember getting my learner's permit. My dad said, here you go, Seth, drive home. When I got home, I about wiped out this stone duck that was at the end, you know, getting that thing in gear. But I remember on the way home from that driver's license bureau, we got there to a hill there. Was that Lawson? It was Lawson. Right there at the top, you would roll up and you'd stop at a stop sign. So you're stopped on that hill at a stop sign, and you got to shift and get that car out and put it in. And my dad sits there with his hand on the emergency brake, all right? I think he thought, I'm going home, all right? And you had to put that thing in first gear, and you had to get just the right mixture, or you were moving backwards, right? Can I tell you something about the Christian life? If we're not careful, we move backwards quickly. Trying to move forward in a world in which we live with the temptations that it has, the struggles that it invites, and really sometimes not even the hardship, though we're beginning to see more and more of that in life. It's the prosperity of life that gets us many times. Sometimes it's harder to do right in prosperity than it is in the middle of problems in our life. Prosperity just invites that neutral element of the Christian life. Hardship forces us to say, I've got to go through. We shift down, if you will. But if we're not careful, we begin to grow into neutral and begin to be comfortable and content with where we are. Have you hit your knees lately and said, Lord, I want to know you better? I want to know you better. I think this year it was 25 years that I've been saved, growing up in the Christian life my whole life. Lord, I want to know you better than I did day one, 10 years after, 15 years after. I want to know you better. Well, there's a lot of conforming that still needs to be done in my life. In 4 years here, you know you don't have a perfect pastor, right? All right. And it didn't even take 4 years to figure that one out, did it? All right. But here it is. There needs to be more conforming in my life. I need to be shaped and I need to be changed. And look, I need to grow. I'm looking forward to that trip. I want to know and understand the Word of God better than ever before. This book is not a book. This book isn't Dr. Seuss. You know, many of the reasons people say and argue for a different translation of the Word of God, they say it's hard to understand. Well, Christian, it was written by an Almighty God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Can you imagine a seventh grader going to school for the first time and said, "Man, that book is too hard to understand. You need to give me something simpler. Let's go back to sixth grade." You'd say, "Oh, no, that's not the way it works, friend. It's supposed to be harder for you to understand. You're supposed to be growing." When's the last time you said, this book is not Deuce Dr. Seuss. I shouldn't be able to read it one time and walk away with every bit of knowledge that it contains. It's growth in my life. I should never be satisfied with my understanding of the Word of God. Hey, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The better I know this book, the better I know my God. I want to grow in understanding of it. I want to grow in that conforming and that taking care of His character on in my life. I never want to be content with where I'm at in the Christian life. And the Lord has given this caution. He said, I'm going to tell you, in my kingdom, you're moving forward or you're moving backward. There's no stagnant place. There's no place of content. He said this, take heed what you hear. You be careful of what you take in your life and realize what you take into the Word of God. It should be line upon line, precept upon precept. It should be growing and building day in and day out, being conformed more and more until that day I see Him face to face and I am as He is. He said growth in the Christian life. It compounds. The more I know Him today, the better I get to know Him tomorrow and growing and growing and vice versa. If I decide I'm come to a stagnant point, well, I begin to move backward in my Christian life. Hebrews cautions against this very thing. He said at the times that you should be a teacher, and I'm going to have to paraphrase here, you need to be retaught the first oracles of God because we move backward in the Christian life. He said, here it is, Christian, never be content with where you're at. I think every Christian ought to take a pause and say, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to understand you better. I want to know your word better. I want to bear your image better. I want to reflect you better in my life. I want to grow in my knowledge of you. How about this one? And then he says this. I think we see here the credit for growth in verse 30 or verse 26. He said this, so is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle because the harvest is come. He said, look, here's the farmer. He goes out and spreads the seed. He had used a similar illustration just a moment ago. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. When you were a kid, anybody ever do those little things where you put the seed and you put the thing in the windowsill and you put water in it? And maybe as a kid, you went continually back. Is it growing? No. Is it growing? No. Is it ever going to grow? Didn't feel like it. Mine I killed, all right. But is it ever going to grow? And you went back, you could rise night and day, but at the end of the day, you could water that thing and all of that thing, but the farmer says, I don't know how that happened. I mean, I planted the seed and I watered it, but I didn't make that thing sprout. I didn't make the sun shine. I didn't make the growth happen. God did. The farmer had to plant the seed. I think this, here it is, Christian. I have to plant the seed in my life. I have to seek out the Word of God. I have to seek growth. I think of how that happens. We labor at the Word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I like how it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, and then this, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, here it is. Anybody ever come, don't raise your hand, to the point where you just felt by reading, you just weren't getting anything more out of it? When you come to the point in your life where you're picking up the Bible and you're just not getting any more out of it by the reading of it, let me tell you what God's saying. Study it. Study it. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He said, Seth, I'm not going to let you be satisfied with John 3:16. Pretty simple to understand. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But then you read Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 in that first prophecy of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the seed of the woman would bruise the head of the, would crush the head of the serpent and or bruise his head as the serpent. And then you start saying, boy, this takes a little more study. The book of Isaiah takes a little more study. The book of Ezekiel takes a little more study. The book of Jeremiah takes a little bit more study. John seems easy, but Revelation seems hard. You know what he says? Study to show yourself approved unto God. You know what the farmer does? He goes out, rain or shine, and he plants the seed, and it's hard work. How about this one? How about not only that, but Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. We memorize and meditate upon the Word of God. We reflect upon the Word of God, because Hebrews said chapter 4 and verse 12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. We study it, we read it, we memorize it, we consume it and look at who we are and who God would have us to be, and it pricks us like a sharp sword. We surrender to the Word of God. In James chapter 1, 22 through 25, the Lord said this, I'm telling you not just to be a hearer of the Word, but to be a what? A doer of the Word. That's a surrender to the Word of God. We read it, we study it, we memorize it, we meditate upon it, we reflect upon it as Hebrews teaches. It lays us open before the Lord, and we see who He is and who He'd have us to be, and we get into it and we surrender to its teachings, and not just a hearer of the Word or a reader of the Word, but a doer of the Word. And here's what happens. As a result, we are changed by it. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Somehow change takes over. Think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 5:15, 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. You know, Paul's saying, it's but by the grace of God that I am what I am. Here it is, Christian. The farmer works hard at planting the seed. He puts it in, he puts it in, he puts it in. But at the end of the day, he walks out. And I don't know how that happened. Here it is, Christian. We should work hard at growing in the Christian life. I should work hard at planting the seed in my own life. I should read it. I should study it. I should meditate upon it. I should reflect upon what it says. I should surrender to it and become a doer. And at the end of the day, one day I will step back after doing all that and say, how did that all happen? How did my life change and be shaped in that? And I look back like Paul said, but for the grace of God, I am what I am. Look, I labored at planting the seed. I labored at studying the Word. I labored at meditating upon the Word of God. I was not satisfied with the simple reading, but I had to get beyond that. And I labored at it like a workman. And I began to examine my life compared to the Word of God. And I surrendered to what it taught me. And all of a sudden, I looked back one day and I said, I see the seed was planted, and I see where I am today. How did that even happen? How did my life change from that to this? And we look at it and say, by the grace of God. By the grace of God. You know, he said, here it is, Christian. If you're gonna learn, then we must recognize the Word of God is a growth process, and it cannot be a neutral process in my life. I cannot be content with where I am at spiritually in my life. I must grow line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Aren't you glad it didn't say here a lot, there a lot, all right? Here a little, there a little. And as I do that, as I labor at the Word of God, like that farmer who goes out and he works so hard and he clears the ground and he weeds the grounds, he pulls the rocks out of the ground, he plants the seed in the ground. And then he walks out there in the fall and he looks and says, wow, Look at all that. Now, I labored, but it wasn't my labor that did all that. It was the sun that shined. He even uses that illustration here. He says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, and after that, the full corn in the ear. In Indiana, I don't know if it's similar here. Maybe someone could tell me, but when it came to corn, it was knee-high by the 4th of July. Is that what it is here? Knee-high by the 4th of July, everybody would say that. They'd go out there, and you could see them clear that. They'd rotate crops a lot of times between beans, soybeans, and corn. And you'd see that. They'd plant it. And usually by the 4th of July, it was well beyond knee-high. All right, it was usually here. But you'd see that corn eventually get 8 feet high or so or more. But you'd see that ground break. You'd see that ear come up. And finally, eventually, you'd see that corn come up. And that farmer might have plowed, he might have fertilized, he might have cleared the ground, but something happened that he had nothing to do with. Growth. You know, farmers even realize that sometimes when the season is wet and dry, they recognize something. Isn't it amazing? The further we've gotten away from an agricultural society, the further we've gotten away from God as a society. We've become too dependent on our checkbooks and our jobs and all of that, and less dependent on the God who sends the rain and makes the sun to shine. And lately, God's just said, let me remind you how you got where you're at and how little control you have over it. And Christian, there comes a time in our life when we say this, I want to grow. And in God's kingdom's growth works by saying this, it's here a little, there a little, and God grows. And if I ever say, I'm content with neutral, I'm moving backwards in my life. I'm moving backwards in my life. To grow little by little and then see God do something where one day I look back and I say, boy, that was the grace of God. We see in here, we see the compounding growth, we see the credit for growth, and lastly, and I'm going to be finished with this, we see the comparison of growth. Look at verse 30. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? What's the comparison here? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up, and becometh greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. It's just the grain of a mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Just a little bitty seed. Just a little bitty seed. I would say this, that in terms of what the world offers, this seems to be just a little bitty seed, doesn't it? So small, so little, not popular, not to be pursued after. It's just a little, little seed. But when it's finished, when it's done, he says this in that portion of Scripture, but when it is sown, it groweth up and become greater than all the herbs, and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scorner. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. What appears to be so little, so unpopular, so out of fashion, God says, you let that little seed take root, and it does something that even the fowls of the air lodge in. That even it even impacts not only the one who did it, but those that are around them. Psalms 1 continues this way. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Perish. Isn't it amazing? What's the comparison? Well, let's compare this to the world. It starts so small, so out of fashion, so minor, something that many look on and say, I don't want all that. And yet, for the person who decides line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, letting the Word of God move and work in their life. One day, he set us a mighty tree. But the world starts out so big, so promising. I think of what the Lord said in Hebrews. Moses, in Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of his reward. Moses said, I don't need the world. Egypt looked so big. Egypt looked so promising. To have escaped the household of a slave and to find himself in the household of a king. To have gone from one who looked to have escaped, we would have said, boy, he made it out of that neighborhood. He had it made. And he said, no. What I needed is that slave's household. The pleasure of sin for a season seems so promising, but at the end, it's just like a chaff which the wind bloweth away. It just bloweth away. Where's Egypt? That's a third world country. Where will Israel be in the millennium? See, the Word of God, what God does, it seems so small and so unattractive, like it can yield so little. It starts out as the smallest of seeds. Yet when it's planted, when it's watered, when it's grown, it becomes a great and mighty tree. The world looks so big, looks so promising, looks so inviting. But one day, it's going to all melt with a fervent heat and blow away like a chaff to be remembered no more in the light of glory. He said, that is my kingdom. That is my kingdom. Hey, Christian, he says in this portion of scriptures, let me give you some things to my kingdom. Oh, the people of Israel were looking for something, the Messiah to ride into Rome and dethrone Caesar, to free the people of Israel, to give them something great. And by the way, one day he will. He'll come back and he'll rule and reign. But he said, here's my kingdom. I'm starting with you 12. And one of you is the devil, he said. So just give me the 11. He said, I'm going to do something where you grow little by little by little. And you grow and you grow and grow. He said, but let me warn you, there's no neutral. You're in and moving forward or you're moving backward. He said, grow, grow, grow. And he said this, and he said, and labor. And one day when you labor over the Word of God and you labor over spiritual growth, you look back and you say like Paul, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Most of us can look back and say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He said this, and then you remember this, it starts so small. Young people, remember this, that this looks like a mustard seed. Even the world's books, they have their nice covers, don't they? This is just an old black one. I like black ones, all right? It's just a simple book. Hey, given by over 40 different men over 1,500 years, it's an old book. And I kind of even get down to the old King James, so that makes me even older looking, all right, older, more out of fashion. It's just a small seed. But if you let it grow, he said it's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When we grab a hold of the world that looks so big and so broad and so promising, one day, it's like a chaff of the wind. Whoosh! And it's gone. God says, that's my kingdom. It is this. Christian, let us never be satisfied with where we're at. I don't want to be satisfied with where I am at in my Christian life. I don't want to be satisfied with my knowledge of the Word of God. I don't want to be satisfied with my Christian character. I don't want to be satisfied as a church with our reach. I don't want to be satisfied with where I am. And we need to say line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, grow, grow, grow in our Christian life. And then realize something. This world, it looks so big, but it's just a chafe. The Christian life, when you plant that seed in your heart and in your life, it grows into a mighty tree that even benefits those that are around it.